Sermon, A Risen Savior. Tacoma Park, Maryland, May 22, 1909. Sermon, Mrs. E. G. White, Seventh-day Adventist General Conference. For a scripture reading, the speaker read, in a most solemn and impressive manner, Matthew 17, 26, 26-75, 27, 28. Matthew 17, verse 1-21 quoted. As we read, let us bear in mind all these points. Now Christ opens up before his disciples future scenes. Matthew 17, verse 22-27, 26, 26-64, quoted. This is the testimony he bore. Matthew 26, verse 65-72, quoted. This is the same Peter who was so self-confident at the time of the Last Supper. From this record, we can learn that unless we have strength from on high, we shall see very strange things happening even among those who claim to be looking for the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. Matthew 26, verse 73-75, quoted. This experience through which Peter passed, because of his self-confidence, should be a lesson to us. We should be very careful how we make boasts of our faithfulness. From the records of those who walked and talked with Jesus during his earthly ministry, we can clearly see that in time of trial, there are many who will not bear the test unless they have a deeper experience than they have today. Peter was not the only one who proved fearful in the hour of trial and difficulty. On the night of the betrayal, as we have already read, Matthew 26, verse 51-56, quoted. We shall not read all that has been recorded concerning the trial and the humiliation of our Savior. Beginning with the 27th chapter, we read Matthew 27, verse 1-20, quoted. At this point in the scripture reading, the speaker paused for a few minutes while a male quartet sang Pilate's Wife's Dream, the words of which are, It was not sleep that bound my sight upon that well-remembered night. It was not fancy's fitful power beguiled me in that solemn hour. But o'er the vision of my soul, the mystic future seemed to roll. And in the deep prophetic trance, revealed its treasures to my glance. Before my wondering eyes there stood a vast, a countless multitude, the hoary sire, the prattling child, the mother and the maiden mild, the gladsome youth and man of care, all tribes, all ages mingled there, and all, where'er I turned to see, in humble silence bent the knee. As o'er the crowded scene I gazed, against the lurid eastern sky, I saw the shameful cross upraised, I saw the sufferer doomed to die. 'Twas he whom late with sorrowing mien in Zion streets I oft had seen, and now in blood and agony he turned a dying look on me. Then softly from that gathering throng arose the sound of solemn song. And while I caught the swelling lay, the myriad voices seemed to say, And we believe in him that died by Pontius Pilate crucified, that he shall come when time is fled to judge the living and the dead. I woke, thou wast not by my side. I heard a loud exulting cry. I heard the scornful priests deride, the elders murmur, Crucify. O Pilate, hast thou marked my prayer, that guiltless blood to shield and spare, that deed of horror would not be? A stain to thine, a curse to thee. Our early days of joy are past, our youthful spring is withered all. Afar from Rome our lot is cast, beneath the sunny skies of Gaul. The thoughts that memory treasures yet of other days begin to flee. But never shall my heart forget the crucified of Galilee. Matthew 27, verse 21 to 24, quoted. Was he innocent? He wished to avoid the appearance of being guilty, but his official position was such that it was his duty to do justice and judgment. This he failed of doing. Matthew 27, verse 25 to 66, quoted. Now we shall have a brighter chapter. Matthew 28, verse 1 to 20, quoted. If any of you think you suffer more than Christ has suffered, that you have to pay a higher price for your faith than Christ paid for you, your soul will be blessed by a faithful study of the Gospels. The Lord of glory made infinite sacrifices in our behalf. If he could suffer all this that he might open for us a way whereby we might be saved, should any of us feel that we are paying too for our salvation? What does this salvation mean to us? It means a life that measures with the life of God. If we are not willing to make special sacrifices in order to save the souls that are ready to perish, how can we be counted worthy to enter into the city of God?
Let us come into right relation to God at this meeting. Let us humble ourselves before him and obey his commandments. If we do not feel that it is an honor to be partakers of the sufferings of Christ, if you feel no burden of soul for those who are ready to perish, if you are unwilling to sacrifice that you may save means for the work that is to be done, there will be no room for you in the kingdom of God. We need to be partakers with Christ of his sufferings and self-denial at every step. We need to have the Spirit of God resting upon us, leading us to constant self-sacrifice. There is an individual work to be done for each one of us. I know there are many who are placing themselves in right relation to Christ, whose one thought is to bring the message of present truth before the people of the world. They stand continually ready to offer their services. But my heart aches when I see so many who are satisfied with a cheap experience, an experience that costs them but little. Their lives say that for them, Christ has died in vain. Behold our cities and their need of the gospel. The need for earnest labor among the multitudes in the cities has been kept before me for more than 20 years. Who is carrying a burden for our large cities? Some will say, we need all the money we can get to carry on the work in other places. Do you not know that unless you carry the truth to the cities, there will be a drying up of means? When you carry this message to those in the cities who are hungry for truth, and they accept the light, they will go to work to bring that light to others. Souls who have means will be brought into the truth and will give of their means to advance the work of God. But how can we expect means to come to the support of the cause from the cities where you are doing to bring the light to the people? I have been instructed that there is much means in the cities that are unworked. God has interested people there. Go to them, give them the truth. They will receive it. There are honest souls in the cities who should have had the message more than 20 years ago. Had this work been done, churches would have been raised up in many fields whose members would now be laborers together with God. What is being done in the eastern cities where the Advent message was first proclaimed? The cities of the West have had advantages, but who in the East have been burdened to take up the work of going over the ground that in the early days of the message was baptized with the truth of the Lord's soon coming? The light has been given that the truth should go again to the eastern states where we first began our work and where we had our first experiences. We must make every effort to spread a knowledge of the truth to all who will hear, and there are many who will listen. All through our large cities, God has honest souls who are interested in what is truth. There is earnest work to be done in the eastern states. Repeat the message. Repeat the message were the words spoken to me over and over again. Tell my people to repeat the message in the places where it was first preached and where church after church took their position for the truth, the power of God witnessing to the message in a remarkable manner. The southern states are to have the light of present truth. Do not say, our printing offices and our churches need more of our help. We need all the means we can get to carry on the work we have in hand. Let your standard be raised higher and still higher. Then those who take hold of the truth in earnest will understand that they have a work to do. In this way, the means for the carrying on of the work will be always increasing. One after another has shut the door to certain lines of missionary work for fear that this work will consume means. My brethren, you need the Spirit of Christ. Then you will understand what the salvation of the human race has cost. You need to come into right relation to God. You need to humble your souls before Him. Let us begin to work for those who have not had the light. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, the Savior declared. And lo, I am with you alway. Verses 18-20. Message after message has come to you, pointing out the work to be done in opening the Scriptures to those in darkness of error. What we need is a living faith. Faith to proclaim over the rent sepulchre of Joseph that we have a living Savior, one who will go before us, who will work with us. God will do the work if we will furnish Him the instruments. There needs to be among us a great deal more of prayer and much less of unbelief. We need to lift up the standard higher and still higher before the people. We need to remember that Christ is always at our right hand as we proclaim liberty to the captives and deal the bread of life to hungry souls who need the word of life. When we keep before our minds the urgency and importance of our work, the salvation of God will be revealed in a remarkable manner.
To the workers in our printing offices, I would say, consecrate yourselves to God. Let the whole heart be converted to Him. Let the practices of your life reveal that you are converted. Whatever business you have to do, do it in the name of Jesus. Then you will proclaim in earnest that Christ is the resurrection and the life. We want this truth to resound to all parts of the world. Christ is the resurrection and the life. We thank God that so many are gathered here. Let us each dig deep, laying our foundation firmly upon the rock. Then when the storms shall come and beat upon our house, it will not fall, for it is founded on a rock that will not give way. I thank God for the excellent meetings you are having. Let us praise His holy name for every evidence of His love. We want to see the salvation of God revealed in the lifting up of men from their low estate, from low ideas, to take part efficiently in the great work before us. Let us draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. All who will, during these meetings, humble their own souls before God will find grace and salvation. God help us put on the armor and to act as though we were in earnest, as though the souls of men and women were worth saving. Let us seek a new conversion. Let us seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit of God with us, that our hearts may be softened, and that we may not bring a harsh spirit into the work. I pray that the Holy Spirit may take full possession of our hearts. Let us act like children of God who are looking to Him for counsel, ready to work out His plans whenever presented. God will be glorified by such a people, and those who witness our zeal will say, Amen and Amen.